So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. We are finally getting back on track to Off the Beaten Path. And this week, we are on the state of Nevada. Now, before I go any further, I know most of us say Nevada, but the correct pronunciation is actually Nevada. In fact, people in the state of Nevada go so far as to put that little smiley face thing over. I forget what it's called. Looks like a small U. That makes it a short A, Nevada. So Nevada is known as the mining state, the sagebrush state, and the silver state. For the past several years, however, it has also been known as the O.J. Simpson state, and I will explain to you why in a little bit once we get going. Now, Nevada is a fairly large state. It covers an area of 110,561 square miles, which is not too shabby. To give you an idea, Connecticut is about 5,000 square miles, so this is a fairly decent-sized state. The capital is Carson City. The largest city, obviously, is Las Vegas. And the Colorado, the Humboldt, and the Truckee Rivers are the major rivers that flow through that state. Now, ironically, its elevation ranges from 400 feet at the Colorado River to 13,140 feet, and that's at Boundary Peak. Its leading industries are tourism and agriculture, which includes cattle, sheep, and they have, of course, mining, gold and silver, and, of course, uranium. The state bird is the mountain bluebird. Now folks, if you're not familiar with bluebirds, there are eastern bluebirds and western bluebirds, which are blue on top but have an orange chest, and the mountain bluebird has a lighter blue chest. It is the prettiest of the bluebirds, a gorgeous little bird. Now the motto is All for Our Country. They have a state song, Home Means Nevada, and the origin of the name comes from the Spanish word for snow-capped. So that's a little insight into the state of Nevada. Now let me get back to why I called it the O.J. Simpson state. There is a very large state prison located between Las Vegas and Reno, and it's either 95 or 395. I always get those two routes mixed up. One's in California and one is in Nevada. But when I was out there in 1990, I'm driving in the middle of nowhere. And literally, I mean, this part of Nevada looks like a giant gravel parking lot as far as the eye can see. There's a little stunted Joshua tree here and there, or a little clump of dead grass. But for the most part, this looks like a gravel parking lot. There is absolutely nothing. And when you're headed north, this prison is on the left. And there are signs all over the place, do not pick up hitchhikers. But this is a maximum security facility, and really, even if you escape, you will die before you get anywhere. It's just like being in the middle of Death Valley. Absolutely desolate. And you get a little bit further north, and you get to a little town called Amargosa Valley, which is the gateway to Death Valley. You turn left at Amargosa Valley, go through Death Valley Junction, and then eventually end up in Death Valley National Park. Now, when I was out there, as I got into Amargosa Valley, I noticed all along the road these concrete slabs where buildings had been torn down. They looked like giant chicken coops had been there. They were about 30 feet by, I don't know, 80, 100 feet long, and there were just dozens of these things along the road. Get into the center of town, there's a building that has three doors on it, long, skinny building. The left door went into a bar, the middle door went into a restaurant, and the right-hand door went into a grocery store, but it was all wide open, one giant building. And there was a little gas station right next to that. So it was getting close to dark. It was in the summertime. I was a little hungry, so I stopped and I got something to eat, and I noticed that the menu said the name of this restaurant, Lathrop Wells, Nevada. So I was wondering about that, and apparently so was the guy sitting next to me at the counter, because he inquired about it. And the waitress mumbled something about changing the name, and she never really did give a specific answer. So I was talking to an uncle of mine about a year later, and he had been stationed in Las Vegas in the Air Force in the early 1970s. And I was telling him about this place. They had two names. They said it's called Amargosa Valley. But the funny thing is, it used to be called Lathrop Wells. And he just started laughing. He said, Lathrop Wells. That used to be the biggest whorehouse in the entire state of Nevada. They actually had an airport beacon mounted on top of this thing with red lenses in it, and you could see it for 100 miles in either direction across the desert. So apparently these concrete slabs were where they had torn these houses of ill repute down. And I guess people were still showing up looking for this place, so they renamed the town to Amargosa Valley, Nevada. So I thought that was kind of a funny story, something that happened out there. And of course, you know, I'm full of trivia, of anecdotal things that have happened to me as I've driven all over this great country of ours. And let me just fill in, folks, for those of you who were not here for the beginning of Off the Beaten Path, I have been to every state in the United States except Hawaii, and I have seen 7 or 8 Canadian provinces. And I had the opportunity to do this all, with the exception of Alaska, by the time I was 23 years old, which was quite an accomplishment for a young person. I did not do this by being in the military, did not do this by being an over-the-road truck driver. I did this on my own. I would just go to places I had never been before, and I got to see all kinds of off-the-beaten-path places around this wonderful country of ours. So I am now getting back into that, as the same stuff is happening over and over and over again about Trump with the Russian collusions. I figured it was time to get back to this. So we are starting with the state of Nevada. Now, one more interesting thing, anecdotal about my uncle who was stationed out there. He's a big motorcycle guy, just like I am. And he had a motorcycle when he was stationed in Las Vegas. And one day, his motorcycle was stolen. And after several months of the police not being able to find it, he decided to get another one. So one day he's out cruising these secondary roads. It was about a year after his motorcycle had been stolen. He's on a back road somewhere. And lo and behold, there's what's left of his motorcycle. And let me tell you, folks, it's bad when you get something stolen, but when you find it and it's been junked and it's laying in the middle of nowhere, that just adds insult to injury. So without any further ado, let me start to describe some places in Nevada that you may actually want to visit, because there really aren't that many. There is not that much to see and do in the state of Nevada. There are a few, and I think I have just enough to do this show, which is why I was telling you some anecdotal stories to begin with, because unlike Colorado or even Rhode Island or Connecticut, there just isn't that much there, unless you're into uranium mining or secret government bases and UFOs and gambling, that sort of a thing. Get that out of the way, and there's really not that much left to see and do in Nevada. But I will tell you about a few cool places within the state. Now, first of all, Nevada does have a huge mining industry. Most recently, that was uranium, for the atomic bomb project and, of course, the nuclear weapons that we've made since then. But prior to that, prior to that, it was predominantly gold and silver, and mostly silver. That's why it's called the Silver State, and you have a town called Silver City.
Silver and gold, silver and gold.
Thank you, George. Wasn't that from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Burl? I thought so. Cute. Yeah, I appreciate that. So anyway, there is still some silver and gold being mined out of the state of Nevada, but again, everything switched over to uranium for the space race, and that kind of faded out. But nowadays, there has been I'm not going to say a rush, but people are starting to go back in and mine uranium again. Uranium. Are you having fun? You are. Look, George. What? Oh, wonderful. George has looked at my show notes and says that he has a soundbite for everything we're going to be talking about today. Well, George, I'm going to throw you a curveball, and there's no way you're going to have a soundbite for everything that we talk about today. In fact, I'm going to throw you for a loop, because I was going to start with Valley of Fire State Park, but no. Now I'm going to start with Hoover Dam, so you have nothing for that. Yeah. So folks, if you've never been to Hoover Dam, it is an incredible sight to see. Nowadays, there is a bridge that spans the gorge in front of Hoover Dam, and you can actually look across and see this thing from the air, which when I went through there just did not exist. We had to take the old route that wound down. You drove across the dam, came up the other side, and wound back up through the canyons and went out the other side. Let me tell you, folks, that was the way to see Hoover Dam, because there was a little turnout on the Arizona side where I parked, and I got out and I shot the backside of the dam and the lake levels. And to compare those photographs with the lake levels today is like night and day. It's just almost unfathomable how much the water level has dropped behind Hoover Dam. But you can take tours of Hoover Dam. You can go down inside, and you can actually go through where all the turbines are. Now, the turbines are not inside the dam. That's a common misconception. The tunnels that produce electricity where the turbines are not inside of a hydroelectric dam. Well, yeah, sometimes they are. But in Hoover Dam, they actually blasted tunnels on either side of the dam through the canyon walls, and that is where the turbines are. They are not inside the dam itself. But it's a really cool place to take a tour and go through, because there's really nothing else like it on the world. I mean, there's other dams like that, but none that really take you through and show you like they do inside of Hoover Dam. So that is an awesome place. And to get there, of course, you can get there from Las Vegas heading southeast. But I went through heading from Bullhead City, Arizona, and went through that way. And I prefer it, because when you come down from the Arizona side at the time, there wasn't that much to see. But when you got up the other side, there were overlooks that looked back down on top of the dam, and it was just really incredible. That's the side that has these giant, they're like catenary bridges with the wires coming out of them, and they hang out on a 45 degree angle. It's absolutely unlike anything you've ever seen anywhere else. So that's the first place I'm going to talk about, Arizona, is Hoover Dam. Now, George, we will get to Valley of Fire State Park. Do you have anything for Valley of Fire?
Fire!
Okay, are you done? Okay. Well, folks, Valley of Fire State Park is really a very scenic area. It's not too far outside of Las Vegas, and it's right on the edge of Lake Mead. So when you go to Valley of Fire State Park, you will have access to Lake Mead if you want to do boating and that sort of a thing. But you're in an area that has a lot of red rocks. It's very, very reminiscent of southern Utah. Of course, you're in that same general area with the canyonlands that make up Lake Mead. So you have Valley Fire State Park on the extreme left, and then you have the Grand Canyon on the right. And then as you get up into Utah, you have the Vermilion Cliffs, and all of the Red Rocks formations in Utah. So this is the extreme western portion of this. It is a very, very scenic place. If you're into looking at rocks like I am, this is a definite must-see. And what tops it off is a place called Elephant Rock. Now, Elephant Rock appeared on the cover of the Rand McNally Road Atlas back in, oh gosh, I want to say 96, 97, 98, somewhere along in there. And it actually looks like an elephant's trunk coming down off of a much bigger rock. And there's a path that goes underneath it. So you can actually walk between the elephant's trunk and the elephant's head. It's a really, really cool place if you're into looking at Western Red Rocks. Now, obviously, the one place that everyone goes to in the state of Nevada is going to be the City of Lights, otherwise known as Las Vegas. Las Vegas. George, that is really getting annoying. Anyway, Las Vegas, you've all heard of Las Vegas. If you're into gambling at all, that is the place to go. Now, I have never gambled in Las Vegas. I've been through Las Vegas twice. And the second time I came through, they were just starting to turn the lights on as it was getting dark. And folks, let me tell you, there is nothing else in the world that looks like Las Vegas at night. It used to be neon lights. Of course, now with LED lights, it's so much brighter. And there's so many more of them. And you can do so many more things with LEDs than you can with neon. This is an incredible place to go just to experience all of the lighting, particularly if you're a photographer. To do timed exposures with these things, oh my God, it's incredible. Like I said, I've never played the casinos at Las Vegas. I have played Atlantic City and some other casinos around on the East Coast. But I was a youngster when I went through Vegas, so I never wanted to really stop in and gamble at any of the casinos. And actually, looking back on it, I wasn't old enough to do it anyway, so I guess the whole point is moot. But y'all know about Las Vegas. You see enough of that on television. So let me work my way up slightly to the north. Now, we're going to get on a place called the Extraterrestrial Highway. And folks, the state of Nevada has actually designated this road as the Extraterrestrial Highway. The fonts are in computerized fonts and everything. Whether or not they believe in aliens or not, we don't know. But this is the highway that will take you as close as you can get to Area 51. Of course, you've got to take a side road, but this is how you get to Area 51 if you want to go up to that gate and photograph it for posterity. Oh, thank you. George is reminding me we're due for a commercial break. When I come back, talk to you a little bit about how to get to Area 51, if you are so inclined, and a few other things in the uranium state or the state of O.J. Simpson. Be right back, folks.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, folks, we are back continuing the State of Nevada. Now, that bumper in was a song called Uranium by Zot. I figured that was kind of fitting since George actually played Uranium from that song before. So anyway, if you're interested, yeah, it's called Uranium by Zot. Starts out really cool, and then it turns into a typical 1980s piece of junk from some English band that nobody's ever heard from, and it's horrible. So I'm not even going to bother playing that for the outro because it is absolutely horrible. It's like The Fix, but worse. But anyway, folks, getting back to Area 51, if you want to get as close as you absolutely can to this most top secret of all places on the entire planet Earth, take Highway 93 northeast out of Las Vegas and you will run into Highway 375. Where you will see the extraterrestrial highway signs. Like I said, these are in computerized fonts. They have a couple of UFOs on there. It's really cool that the state of Nevada has gotten into all of this. But you can actually pull up Area 51 on Google Earth and find that connecting road that goes over to 375. There's a mailbox out there. There's a stop sign. And folks, you drop down and you look at this thing in virtual reality. When you get out there, it looks the same. You turn left, if you're heading north, you turn left onto this gravel road and go for several miles and you will get to that infamous gate with the infamous sign. And it's just a really cool place just to get a picture, to know that you were there. So Area 51, yeah, it's not a place that you can visit, but it's a really cool place to look at from the outside. Now, Area 51 itself is a mystery. We do know that it was originally created back in, I think, the late 1950s as a place called Dreamland. And the United States government needed a place to test a very new high-altitude spy plane called the U-2. Not that U-2, George. Now, seriously, dude, knock it off. I'm getting tired of this. I think everybody else listening is, too. Now, the U-2 was the original aircraft that was designed to be tested out of the Groom Lake area of what we now know as Area 51 on Nellis Air Force Base. Now, other things that were tested there later on were the SR-71, MiGs that were captured from the Russian government that were tested, and of course, we have heard that Bob Lazar was a worker out there that was basically hired to back engineer technology from ships that were seized from other planets. Now, a lot of people consider Bob Lazar to be way on out there, but just look at this, folks. Go and look and see the patents that Bob Lazar has come up with and registered, and it's stuff that is off the scale. If you have ever heard of the material where you can put a blowtorch on one side and a chocolate bar on the other and it doesn't melt, that is one of Bob Lazar's patents. He has come up with dozens of things that nobody had ever considered before. If he's a fraud, he's a damn good fraud. So I do believe that Bob Lazar actually back-engineered some kind of technology out there. Where it came from, we'll not know. Other aircraft that are rumored to have originated at Area 51 are the Aurora Project, and of course the famous Flying Triangles, the TR-3B. Whether they're real or not, I don't know. We will at some point find out. So moving on from Area 51, let's head west over to Lake Tahoe. Now Lake Tahoe, of course, was where the famous series Bonanza was set. George, what did I tell you? No more sound effects. I don't care if your paw slipped. Turn this off. What do you mean you can't turn it off? Dude, you're fired. Yes, again, you're fired. Got your attention, didn't it? Well, now, thanks to you, we're almost out of time. And it doesn't... Reno. I guess Reno is the only thing that's left to talk about. Now, Reno de Nevada is on Interstate 80. If you come down Interstate 80 from California, you're going to come through the Donner Pass. I took this thing at night, folks, coming back down, and I got an awesome shot of Reno at night in a timed exposure. It was really, really cool. The problem is going up. Well, you see, I'd had a problem with my pickup truck, and I rented a car. And this was when front-wheel drive was still kind of new, and I was not familiar with it. So I'm heading across Interstate 80, and when you get to the bottom of the mountain at Donner Pass, if there's bad weather, Highway Patrol will actually issue you chains to put on your car. It's mandatory. You have to put chains on your vehicle to go over Donner Pass. You get to the top and you turn them back in if they're not your own, and everything's fine. Well, I get to the bottom, and the guy's like, you got chains? It's like, it's a rental car. I don't have any chains. He said, well, I'll give you a set of chains. So he gave me a set of chains, and I get out there. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know, it took me probably an hour and a half to get these freaking chains put around the back wheels of my car. And I get back up there for inspection. The guy looks at it. He goes, isn't this a front-wheel drive car, man? You don't want to even know what was going through my mind at that point. It took me another 2 hours to get these freaking chains off the back wheels and put them on the front, get up to the top. So this ends the useless state of Nevada. Next week, I will be back with New Hampshire with some really cool stuff. I spent a lot of time in New Hampshire when I was a child, and we'll have some really cool stuff. Yes, George, you're right. Nevada sucks.